Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. Today I've got a guest who we're going to discover her story together because I don't know her very well either, but we met on LinkedIn and I thought she has a really interesting combination of an interest in language that started as a child and someone who's also continuing to learn and learn languages as an adult. So welcome, Alejandra. It's nice to see you
Hello.
Here.
Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here.
Yeah, it's great to meet new people and discover new stories. So let's find out, first of all, who you are. So could you maybe tell us something about yourself and your relationship with different languages?
Of course. Well, my name is Alejandra Mezcamilla Sanchez. I'm a Mexican living in the United Kingdom at the moment. And you wonder, why is a Mexican doing so far? Well, I really wanted to study in the UK since I was little. So, and languages have always been my passion, but also my struggle, because I really want to communicate with people. So I've always like wonder why can I not understand them? So that's why I pursue languages. And so far I have studied like 4.5 languages. So I can speak Spanish, English, French, Japanese, and a bit of Korean.
Wow.
I'm also learning a bit of Hungarian because my partner is Hungarian, but that's as much as that's a little bit
Quite
of
an
me
impressive
there.
list. And I remember in the LinkedIn message, you said that when you started with English, it wasn't because you were told you have to go to school, you have to learn. You actually wanted to learn English as quite a young child. How did that come about?
Yes. So as I was like 4 or 5 years old when my mom started like taking me to English lessons to just you know, the basics, to learn the colors, the days of the week. But I didn't really register that was a foreign language until my mom took me to Disneyland when I was like 5 years old. And I really wanted to meet the princesses there. I saw Cinderella and Aurora, and I really wanted to talk to them. They were telling stories to the kids, and as I approached them, I'm like, what are they saying? Like, I cannot understand anything. And it was very frustrating for me because even though I was having fun as a kid, I couldn't understand anything that these characters said. So it really frustrated me so much that when I came back, I told my mom, like, I want to learn English. Like, what I want to learn to speak how they speak, because I really want to communicate. And that's been my mission since I've been little, to communicate with people.
Yeah. Did you go back? Did you go back and see the Disney princesses when you were a bit older?
Yes, I did. And I was able to speak to them. And I was very happy.
Yeah, that's one thing. Like, when people don't have a goal in mind, it's kind of hard. But when there's something you really want to do, and that gives you the motivation more than someone telling you, oh, you have to do this. But if you really want to do it, then it gives you the motivation you need. But I think it's also interesting,
Definitely.
like you're saying that it's a struggle too, because sometimes when people speak several languages, people say, oh, you must be really good at that, you must be really gifted, and it kind of takes away from all the work that goes into that as well, because it doesn't just, I mean, there are people who will tell you can be like fluent in 2 days. It's like, yeah, right, okay. But I don't know, I think it's sometimes, yeah, there is a struggle, and there is, it can be a lot of fun as well, but there is also, like, you have to put the work in, and if you want to get a language to a good level, you do need to do some work as well.
Definitely. They don't know about all the times that I spend in my, like, honestly, I think after that I've been in English lessons, like after school English lessons, like every day. And sometimes I wouldn't go out on play days because I would be teaching, like not teaching, studying English. So definitely I missed out on many opportunities, but I gained so many more opportunities as well. So yeah, you definitely have to put in the work. I think that is good that I had that very shocking experience when I was little, because otherwise I wouldn't have had the motivation to push me forward to where I am now, which is I managed to come to the UK and I studied a career and I studied my master's in it. And if I hadn't gone there, I think my life would have been very different.
So what was the idea with the coming to the UK? Was that to study English, or was that to study translation, or what was the plan?
So when I was, I was 5 years old, I started like speaking English, but then as I became like 11 years old, my English was not improving as much as I wanted it. So my parents decided to like send me to the UK on an exchange program so that I could improve. And since I've been to the UK, I also fell in love with the culture here. The food is great. It's not that bad,
Really?
actually.
Like
Yes, British food is actually great.
You're the only
Because
person who's ever told me that.
it's because you have to get used to the weather and you have to kind of live here for a bit to get to enjoy it. It has to grow on you. It's very caloric. That's what I gotta tell you, because it's very cold here. But there's something about like having an all day English breakfast at any time of the day is very filling. But we can discuss food another day. No, so I don't know when since I've been little, I've been also mesmerized by the UK. The culture is amazing. Then I got obsessed with Harry Potter. Harry Potter was the first book in English that I read,
Okay.
because I really wanted to challenge myself, and that was a kid's book, so I read it when I was also 11. And so I think since that my goal was to go back to the UK, and study in a UK university, because that's what Harry Potter did. And going from my childhood dream, I ended up here. Sorry, I wanted to add this, but I also, when I was applying to universities, I was already obsessed with Japanese, because at this point I have finished all these, like all the English schools in my town. I have finished them all, completed it. So I was looking for a new hobby, and my mom wanted me to study French, and I did for a bit, but it didn't really match with my needs at the time. I wanted something more fun, and then I found it in Japanese. So I started watching anime and all of this. So I got obsessed with Japanese now. And so I still wanted to study in the UK. But then I found this university that said, hey, you can study in the UK, but on the 3rd year of university, you can travel to Japan and we'll take care of you and you'll have the whole international student experience. And that's really why I came to this university and why I chose this degree, because I wanted them to. Yeah, I wanted the whole experience to be in the UK and to also travel to Japan.
Yeah,
So.
like two for the price of one. Like in the supermarket, you get both experiences in the same degree. So
Exactly.
how long did you spend in Japan? Because you're back now and you completed this. How
Yeah.
long were you there?
So the first time I went was when I was 16, should have been like 2014. And I was there for 1 month. I was also on a summer exchange program. I was starting to learn the language. And I will not lie to you, but honestly, even though I was so excited to go, I begged my parents to go. I started like learning Japanese by myself before I went, because obviously I wanted to speak a bit of language. I wanted to be able to communicate. Even though I was very excited, the first day that I arrived, I was also very shocked at how different it was. And as I was laying there in what was gonna be my bed for the next month, I was there crying, thinking to myself, what have I done? This is really different place. I don't know if I can survive here. Because then I felt like, because I was already so confident in my English skills, but then my Japanese was like zero at the time. So that was very shocking. Like that night was very shocking to me as well. I was like, what did I just get myself into? And so I woke up very scared the next day. But as I ate breakfast and as I was like exploring the city with my host mother, then I calmed myself down and I told myself, this is going to be okay. I actually want to be here. So it was only the shock of traveling and everything, but definitely. I think I've always needed that kind of like impression, that big impression on me to make me change and to make me really want it. I don't know, I'm driven by emotions sometimes. But you asked me how long I've been in Japan. That was not your question.
it's still good to know that because I'm going to come back to that
Okay. How long I've been in Japan? Overall, that was 1 month, and then I came back for my university year, which was 1 year. So I arrived there in September 2019. I started my course, and then the
now.
COVID experience happened. The COVID experience, not the pandemic, the experience. Yeah, but I managed to stay in Japan, and I might still managed to like finish my course there. And then when it was summer again and we were able to travel, I managed to go back to the UK and finish my course. Yeah, before they closed the country again.
So were you stuck like alone, or were you with other people? So when, like in the lockdown period, were you
Oh, I
completely
was
on
by
your own?
myself. Yeah, I was by
Oh
myself in Japan. It's fine. It was not that, it wasn't that scary. I liked it.
wow. I guess you still had a few months before that happened, like the autumn of the year before you still got to be there.
Oh yeah.
And how useful was your English there, like just with general people that you met in the shops on the street? Did you, were you forced to use Japanese right from the beginning, or could you get away with a bit of English sometimes?
Yeah, the school staff that was showing us around, they spoke English, of course, but they were forcing us to speak Japanese in the school with other students, and also in the community that I was. It wasn't a big city. I was in Kitakyushu, which is in the Fukuoka prefecture, which is closest to Korea. So because it wasn't a big city, there's not many opportunities to speak English. I was forced to speak Japanese then, and only I think I only speak English with my classmates. Some Japanese kids wanted to practice their English, and we became really good friends. But other than that, it would be I would speak in Japanese with like the shop clerks, and sometimes people would approach me and be like, "Oh, where are you from?" Oh, Mexico. I haven't heard of Mexico before. Oh, wow. Do you want to have a drink? And it's like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. You
So
become
people are
a
quite
bit popular.
open.
Yeah, Japanese people are very curious. Very curious. And they're polite, so they will not, like, I don't know, they will not shout at you or scream at you, like, "Hey, wow, I love your hair." No, they will just like stare at you a little bit. And then maybe they sneak a picture very discreetly. If you have curly hair, I found out that because Japanese people don't have that, they like to touch it. But so I have a friend that she has curly hair, and some guy just touched her hair while they were on the train. And then after he touched it, he just started apologizing, like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And then he left, he ran away.
That is a little bit creepy, but okay. That's
A little bit, yeah.
but I think it's really good what you said, because like if you have to use the language, like I'm my newest addition is Portuguese at the moment, and I keep meeting people with a really high level of English. And so it's a bigger push to say, okay, well, we're going to use the language, which is harder for communication, so that I can get some practice. It's not them, it's me. There are lots of people who want to help me. But like if you are in that position where you have to do it, and it's somehow it's a little bit easier because it's the only option that you have.
It's true. It's true. Well, I also struggle with that actually, because I got too comfortable in English, speaking in English, and they were like, "Oh, don't speak to me, Japanese friend." Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's because for you, that's not your first language. So it doesn't, like for me, if I have to, it's funny. I was thinking the other day, like if I am speaking another language and then I need to use an English word, it's like, oh, you failed. Like, why you put an English word? But other people use English words sometimes just to be cool. Like, oh, okay. It's like, okay. But for me, it's like, I guess it is because it is my first language and I don't want to rely on it. But for you, English is also another additional language. So it maybe it doesn't
That's
feel
true.
as bad. But yeah, it's good to have friends. And I think when people know that you're interested enough in their language to learn it, I don't know, I think it changes the relationship a bit, because it's like not making them do all the work all the time if you're willing to use another person's language and to show. I think sometimes you can get to know people a bit better, because I met somebody a couple of weeks ago and we only spoke English, and then the next time we didn't, and it was like, oh, this is what your personality is really like. You know, it's not that there was anything bad, but I think we can tone ourselves down a little bit when we're using other languages. And so sometimes it's nice to make that swap to to see people when they're completely relaxed. Do you think people opened up to you a bit more because you were interested in learning Japanese?
Definitely, definitely. That is especially, I think that is one of the discourse that the Japanese community is having at the moment. Right now, Japan is having like lots of tourists getting in their country, and they're quite angry about it because these new tourists don't respect the rules. But the thing about the people like me that study a lot about the country and study about the language is that we really want to fit in and we want to put that effort. So when the Japanese people see that I am following the rules, that I act like one of them, but I look a bit different, then it's a bit interesting for them. They get curious. So I definitely had so many experiences, especially I heard it from some friends that said, "Oh, you actually know Japanese. That's very interesting. Like I can actually talk to you." So it definitely it will enhance your experience if you try to learn a bit more about their language, their culture. You'll fit in more if that is your goal. For a moment in my life, I wanted to live in Japan very badly, so that's why I put all this effort. So definitely.
So you're more of a visitor than a tourist, like you want to meet people, you want to understand about the culture, and I guess it is a culture that has rules about what is appropriate socially and how you should conduct yourself, like what you should be doing. And I guess it's if you're interested in learning that sort of, people are gonna you are gonna fit in better because it shows that you are interested in them.
Yeah, definitely. And it's only, I don't know if you've like tried to study Japanese, but
No.
you encounter all these rules since you start learning the language. Like for example, you say like, for example, in the animes, everyone hears that them say itadakimasu before they eat. So people think like, oh, people translate it as, oh, let's eat or bon appetit. But no, that's not really what it means. And only when you start studying the language do you discover that they have so many different rules to different like situations that happen. For example, you can only say this word when something happens, or you can only say this word if the other person is superior than you. So as you learn the language, you start getting to know all these different rules and like these different like protocols that they have in society. And it's a very strict culture. That's what I have to say. That you really have to try to fit in. That's why it's a bit stressful sometimes for like foreigners like me who are a bit more open-minded to actually fit in there. We feel a bit claustrophobic with all these rules. But once you get to follow them, you can flow naturally with them.
Was there anything that you kept like, I know I shouldn't do this and I forgot? Like, was there anything that was really hard to remember to do or not to do?
Yes. I am very friendly, especially with like my teachers. And I like to, for example, here I talk to them like very casually and I like to have a relationship with them if I can. But in Japan, you really have to respect their seniority. And to my teachers, I was cracking jokes. Like even in Japanese, I was trying to crack jokes. And sometimes I wouldn't talk to them in the respectful language. So I have to use like a certain different vocabulary, like Keigo, which is the most respectful language for them. But I didn't, because I didn't know it. And then I would also use the short forms, which is even more informal. And they would just laugh at me because they're gonna let it go because I'm a foreigner. I don't really know the rules. But if a Japanese did that to them, it would be so different. They'd be like, oh no, how dare you say that? You
What
need
have
to
you
learn
done?
that. Yeah. So they kind of let me be a little bit, but I was like, haha, cracking jokes with my teachers. And the other Japanese will be like, oh, what are you doing? Just shut up. Like, this is not correct.
Okay. So you were learning with other Japanese people as well. It wasn't like a class of international students, it was a mixed class.
We had the language classes. We were all international students, but then we had other mixed classes with some Japanese and also international students. But it was mostly the Koreans that kept telling me to stop because they also have diff similar cultures to Japanese, so they understood more. But then they told me in English, like, no, don't do that. Like, you're being too much. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
The culture was closer. Is that why you started learning Korean as well? Because you met
Yes.
Korean people in Japan and then wanted to know their language too?
That's correct.
Life wasn't complicated enough for you. You wanted to add some more
Oh,
language.
actually, Korean is so much easier than Japanese in terms of speaking, in terms of the alphabet. Korean only has one alphabet, Japanese has three. But yeah, I really wanted, they're also very similar to learn. So as I'm learning Korean, I rely on my Japanese level because the grammar and the structure is so similar.
Okay.
So that's like my anchor language
Do you mix
for
them though? Like, do
Korean.
you sometimes bring a Korean word into Japanese or the other way around
All
because
the
of this?
time.
Yeah.
All the time. I like graph things from wherever. If I don't know any of the words in any language, I'll just make it up. With like English, half Japanese. There we go.
Yeah, I do that too. Sometimes my Portuguese teacher looks at. What's this, Kirsty? Oh, that's Romanian. It doesn't belong there. But it's the right word. If we were speaking Romanian, it would have been the right word in the sentence. It's
Yeah.
just not we're not speaking that language right
But I'm correct. No, yeah. I feel like your brain really struggles to keep up with what you're trying to
And it doesn't go for
do.
your first language. It doesn't go for like a complete. I don't really do that with German because German is a different family from Romanian and Portuguese, so I don't really put random German words in, but if something about the grammar or the sentence structure is similar, then it's really easy to borrow words from another language when you're not supposed to be. And you mentioned one more, which was the because you mentioned your partner, and then which language?
Ah, yes, he is Hungarian.
Okay.
So Hungarian is not like any other language, actually.
Wow, yeah, I have a friend who was trying to encourage me to learn, and I was like, maybe Italian first, because it's closer. But no, she, so she's a teacher too. So if I wanted to, I would be sorted. But it does look really difficult. So how are you doing that? Are you doing like a course, like you studying the Japanese in quite like a structured way by being on the course at university? Are you doing that with Hungarian too, or is it more
All of
spontaneous?
it is, yeah, all of it is more spontaneous. It's more empirical because I just practice with my partner, basically. He teaches me words from time to time, for those Hungarian listeners. Szia, krumpli vagyok, hogy vagy? I've just said, hello, I'm a potato, how's it going?
I'm glad you didn't swear. I hope you didn't swear.
No, I don't know any swears. I just know how to say I'm a potato in many languages because I find that funny. But yeah, I don't really have a structure for it. I'm basically just doing Duolingo and just asking my partner for sentences that I can use or like words. Like I tr he tries to teach me, well, he because he's trying to learn Spanish, he'll repeat words in Spanish like niño, niña, like girl, boy, and then I'll ask him what the equivalent is in Hungarian, and we just like practice like that. And now that we have his sister just gave birth to a baby, six-month-old baby, so there's a lot of Hungarian going around there, and I'm learning "Twinkle Twinkle Little Star" just by
Oh,
listening to
okay.
it in Hungarian so much. It's cute, but I still cannot remember all the words. I feel like I do need a teacher to sit down and to put some work into it if, when I want to get better at it.
Maybe I should send you to my friend instead of me then, if you're looking for a Hungarian teacher. I do.
Oh
I do know
yes, I would love to.
what.
I would love to, yeah.
But no, I think it's cool because as an adult, like, it's different learning. We were talking before we started about skiing and, small children who learn to ski and how they have so much confidence. And I think it is different learning a language as an adult, but there are also good parts about it. Like, you can choose, you don't have to do a really like a program that doesn't work for you. You can choose what that learning experience is going to look like. But at the same time, we also have our ideas about, oh, I don't want to get it wrong, or like we have extra considerations that you don't have at school, but at the same time we have a lot
Definitely.
more flexibility.
Yeah, for example, if a kid makes a mistake, it's fine because they're kids, but if I make a mistake, I'm almost 30 now. What are they gonna think of me?
Yeah.
That's what goes through my head, but I still think it's good to put in the effort. I especially like to see people's faces when you surprise them with a phrase in their own language. They're like, "Oh, wow, you put the effort like to get to know me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I was in Berlin and doing like a food tour. You go to different places, and we had a guide, and we found out he was Romanian. And then I said something to him in Romanian. He didn't really expect that, that some random English person from his food tour would. Yeah. So I think, yeah, it's nice when people, if people are not expecting it, or I think sometimes it's funny as well because you hear a conversation that people think they're having this private conversation loudly. I don't mean like going out of your way to be nosy, but like sitting at a table thinking, oh, we're having a chat in German and no one's going to understand, and you do, and it's something funny, and like, yeah, I like that. It's cool. I was actually talking to somebody about this. What do you think is easier? Somebody like the friends that you make or random people on the street? Is it easier to try out the new things you've learned on people you know well, or people that you're never going to see again?
Oh, that's a different, that's a, I never thought about that. Perhaps my friends, because then they'll help me improve if I say it wrong. I feel like if I say it to a stranger, they're not gonna understand me and they'll just be nice and just walk away.
Like, what do you want? Why are you talking to me?
Yeah, like maybe I'm not saying it right and they don't understand me, but they just want me to go away, so they just like nod and they're like, oh yeah, and then they leave, for example. I feel like my friends would be more willing to help me be better.
And how easy was it to make friends? I guess you got the people when you were in Japan, you got the people on your course with you, so you're going to be spending time together. But like outside of that, how easy was it to get to know random strangers and make new friends there?
It was easy, but also you have to be careful because some strangers, some of the strangers are not looking for friends. They're looking for other things. Like I got the attentions of so many old men just randomly talking to
Really?
me in bars, and I'm like, no, I don't like, yes, I would love to be pen pals, but also I don't know what you're gonna talk to me about. I'd rather but yeah, people my age, it was easy to make friends if they had like some English knowledge, because there were some people that, for example, the Japanese students that barely knew any English, they would feel very shy, because they knew that my Japanese wasn't very good, so, and they knew that their English wasn't great, so it was going nowhere, it was gonna go nowhere, but they would still be friendly, like they would smile, they just knew that we couldn't communicate that much, so at some point the conversation just ended.
But that improved, I guess, as your language skills improved as well.
Oh yes. Also, Japanese are very hermetic. You kind of need to, yeah, you need to grow on them. So I think my friends that I still am in touch with, they're the ones that speak English because they also have like a curiosity for other cultures, other countries, other people are not so open. It's just a matter of finding your crowd, I think. Be friendly, be approachable.
Be a golden retriever. No, they love
Yes.
it.
Just be a dog.
But they make friends really quickly.
Yeah.
Did you get any time to be kind of outside after the pandemic before you had to go back home? Or was it?
Not really. You
No.
see, everything started very quickly there. So I started my semester like in August. September was fine. We went through October, December, then we had the Christmas holidays. And that's when things started to get like, ooh, there's something going on in China. And I really wanted to travel to Korea this time. But then people were telling me that I was not going to be able to come back from my trip. So I stopped that. And I just decided to stay there. And because things were kind of okay within the country, I could still travel. And then around March is when everything shut down in the whole country. So we were forced to stay in our prefecture. After that, I was not really able to travel much other than on my own to little villages like close by where I was not in danger or I was not infecting other people, you know? So I was still following all the guidelines and I was able to travel a bit within my area, within my island. But I haven't been able to. No, I think there were so many things in my bucket list that I didn't do. So I'm due a trip to Japan again, to see everything that I couldn't. But I think it was still a great experience because that's one of the things that you never expect to happen. And you see all the movies in Japan, like, oh, Godzilla showed up, the end of the world. And I'm like, it's kind of crazy that I go to Japan and this happens.
Yeah, lots of crazy stories from this time. But how
But it
do
was
you
very safe.
keep? Okay, so having the rules kept you safe because you knew what was expected and you knew where you could go. And now, so this time is over, but how do you keep your contact with the Japanese language and culture now that you're back in the UK?
Well, I changed my phone to Japanese. Everything is in Japanese in my phone.
Okay.
It's a struggle sometimes when I want to change things, but I manage. Yeah, I try to watch shows in Japanese. I started learning. Yeah, I signed up to this online school to keep learning my Japanese, but because of work, I had to give that up as well. But I wanna start that again. So perhaps starting my tutoring lessons again, because I want to get the certification level for next year, hopefully. I told you, in Japanese, there's a lot of studying.
Okay.
So yeah, just trying to consume as much media as I can in that language.
And you, I guess at the beginning, so you were learning Japanese in English, not in Spanish. So you were
I
learning
started
from
in
your.
Spanish.
Okay.
Yeah, I started in Spanish because I started learning in when I was in Mexico, and then I switched to learning it in English when I came to the university in the UK. But I prefer to learn it in Spanish, actually. I think it makes more sense.
Yeah, then it's less work for your brain.
Yeah, let's work for my brain, yeah.
But would you recommend this? Like, if somebody was thinking about doing what, I mean, obviously not the pandemic part, but if somebody was
No.
thinking about this year living somewhere else, like really getting immersed in the culture, would you recommend it? And are there any tips that you would give to someone, like things that you wish somebody had told you before you did it? Are there any tips you would give?
Yes, any tips? Whew. Okay, the alphabets might look very intimidating, but they're not. So try your best to really lock in those two alphabets, hiragana and katakana, at the beginning, because that's going to be basically your base. That's going to be what you're going to construct on. And once you master hiragana and katakana, you can do anything. Anything. So just focus on that. And another tip for Japanese learners is don't be intimidated at how many kanji there are. I know there's a lot, but just take it easy and you can learn one every day. And even if you do that, you'll still be on time. Like, just put some daily work in and you'll manage to get to learn those 3,000 kanji.
Wow, that sounds like
Yeah.
you're saying don't try and skip the basics, like with the alphabet. Don't try and rush through because this is the foundation you're going to need that later. I don't speak Japanese, but that sounds like, if you try and take shortcuts here, you're going to have problems
Yes,
later on. Is that?
that's correct. You need your bases, because the later on it's just gonna be kanji. So you really wanna solidify that first knowledge. I'm very good at languages already. So when I was learning hiragana and katakana, I set up like one whole day to learn in that alphabet, and then another day to do that. So I learned both each in one day. But then with kanji, it's so frustrating.
Because there
It's
are
so
so many.
frustrating. Yeah, that even if I'm like so fast as learning all these like characters with kanji, it's still so frustrating. So you really need to have these solid bases in order to read the rest. So yeah, don't skip the basics.
Okay. And how about something that has just come to me? I don't know whether it's relevant, but like, how about music? Like, some people, when they're saying they want to learn English, their music plays a role in that. Did you? Like explore Japanese music or
Yes, of course, of course. I explored Japanese music because I was watching lots of animes. So I was looking for the artists. I was learning the songs, and that actually helped my pronunciation. And
Yeah.
I don't know if you know Attack on Titan, but they have this opening song, very strong opening song. And I learned the whole, I can sing the whole song without looking at the lyrics now. And when we went to karaoke for the first time, people were very impressed because there's some very difficult kanji in there that I was able to read, apparently. No,
Okay.
I just memorized it. And people were like, "Oh my God, wow, you're so good." I'm like, "No, I'm just a nerd. I spend like lots of time in my room just practicing this song." But yeah, that's one of them. Yeah, that's also how I can keep practicing my Japanese wherever I am. You can just start singing.
Yeah, I mean, singing is like pronunciation practice without feeling like you're doing something for study, isn't it? It's like if you like the music, you want to sing a song then. But every
That's
time
true.
you repeat those words, you're trying to like perfection the pronunciation, trying to, and it helps you to remember as well. If you repetition helps you to remember, so like how the words fit together.
Definitely. And something crazy happened, but I listened to this song recently and I'm like, wait, I can understand more now than I did like 2 years earlier. What? Now
That's a
this makes
nice feeling.
sense. Yes, it's very nice. You know what that feeling when you pass, like when you one day you wake up and you're like, oh, it makes sense now. I can understand. I can think in that language now.
And you don't know when the like for me, I never know when the turning point is. Like when did it suddenly become okay to speak to a random person in Romanian? Or like I was trying to think back because at school is different because German I learned I started learning at school because I think you never finish learning any language, but. And so that was different. But as an adult, okay, I wouldn't speak to anyone in Romanian for ages. And now, yeah, there's still mistakes, but I will do it. But then I could never say when was the day that it's not scary anymore. I don't know, but it's you're right. You get to this point where you're like, oh, I can do this. I understand this. I like this. I'm not terrified. That's good. That's progress.
Yeah, and it just happens one day, like all of a
Yeah.
sudden, suddenly I can ride a bike. Amazing.
And I think that is the, I don't know, there are some people, we've got somebody in one of my in one of my events groups, and she always says that she finds the first part of learning a language the most exciting, the most rewarding. You know, for me it's always the other way around. Like I begin to enjoy them when I can start to communicate with people and have fun, but it's that like you have to get through this first part, which I find harder. And even if it's more simple sentences, it's like I'm watching a video and I don't understand, and then you do. And when you get to this point where you can enjoy content that other people have created and start making your own sentences that are more than what did you do at the weekend? It's like then you can really have fun with the language if you get yourself to that stage and don't leave a part behind. Because like with my Turkish, my reading and listening was actually quite good at one point, but my speaking never was because I always avoided it. It's like, no, I'm scared, I'm not going to do this. And I regret that. I'm not going to fix it because I've kind of moved on to other languages, but I promise myself after that experience that I'm not going to do that again. You have to put effort into all of the parts.
Yeah, you have to enjoy all of the learning curve.
Yeah, it's an adventure.
Yeah.
So do you have any more adventures planned, or are you going to focus on what you have to do at the moment?
I want to go back to Japan. I want to go back to Japan, but it's planned for 2028, so we still have 2 more years to go.
Yeah, you got some time.
Yeah. Oh yes. But no, other than that, a bit of promo for my part. I'm about to open my own YouTube channel, just translating songs from Spanish into English and vice versa, and just giving you a bit of the like the process, the thinking process that goes into what happened when they translated these songs. Why do they sound so bad?
What other people's translations or your translation? What?
Well, I'll be reviewing other people's translations, try to come up with better of my own.
Okay.
I can't, it's for some of them, but I just want to review some popular songs that we like, for example, because I hear people like listening to them all the time here, and I'm like, do you even know what that means? Here, let me translate
Okay.
that for you. And then it doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, yeah, we better, it's better if we just listen to this in the original song. So my channel is just gonna be trying to explore that. Like, what happens if we translate the song that you love? And why should we not do that?
Okay, so you don't mean the, like the translations like bad translations, you mean it just it doesn't translate well into
Yes.
English.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Okay, cool. So people who are interested in like translators with this pair, or people who are interested in learning Spanish, or all these people can find your content. Is the channel, does it exist, or?
It's gonna I'm gonna give birth to it today.
Oh,
I've
okay.
been going through some like heavy thinking about branding, but yeah, I wanna focus on that 'cause that's where my passion is.
Okay, well, if you want to give me the link when it's ready, then I
For
can add
sure.
it to our page when we our episode will have a page, and so we can add the link to the channel there.
Thank you, yeah. Other than that, I'm just like doing my stand-up comedy, but nothing related to translation.
In English?
Yes, stand-up comedy in English.
That's not easy. I don't mean because it's in English. I mean, stand-up comedy in itself isn't easy. I think you have to
Yeah.
be very spontaneous, very, I don't know. Did you go to some kind of course before starting that, or you?
No, not really. I've been going to courses like as I go along, some workshops with other comedians, helping us write, helping us come up with our im no, sorry, helping us improve our improvisation skills, your persona on stage as well. But no, it's mostly been through watching a lot of comedy. And then I decided to, because I was watching a lot of comedy and I really wanted to share that comedy in English. I started translating their jokes on my own in my own room. And then when we had when I had to write my thesis for my master's in translation, I decided to write it about that. Well, how can we properly translate stand-up comedy from Spanish into English and make it work?
Wow.
And my findings were that you can, but it would be a transcreation project. You have to take some liberties with it.
Yeah, otherwise it won't make sense.
Yeah, and some jokes you cannot really translate at all because they're so localized, they're so niche, and some people might not even know. Like, I don't know, if you're making a reference of some person, you have to explain to them first who the whole person is, and it becomes a whole thing.
If you have to explain so
It's
much, it's
hard.
not quite so funny. If the joke needs too much explanation, then it's lost somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And so you're like, should I really add like a whole like other joke to explain this other joke that's coming up? I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, well, I wish you well with that, and good luck
Thank
with
you.
your new channel. And yeah, let's stay in touch, and thank you for your time here. I really want to show people others' experiences of how learning can be fun, how learning can be really like a good experience. We never stop learning, or it's good if we don't stop learning. And it's definitely possible to take on new language learning products, the projects as an adult. It's a different experience, but it's definitely worthwhile and enjoyable. And you have to do some work as well, but you meet a lot of people, and like you mentioned, your friends as well. And I think that really helps if you can meet some local people who want to help you and who are your friends, then that makes it a whole like a less lonely experience and more fun.
Definitely, definitely. And sometimes what shocks you the most will be the most rewarding as well.
Yeah, if you keep going. Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay,
Thank
well,
you so
thank
much for
you.
having me.
It's been great talking with you, and have a great day.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.